Well, pleasant good morning to you. We have several who are visiting with us. We're glad you're here and hope that you'll open your Bibles with us this morning. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 8, I'll be starting in that place in just a moment. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus made a statement that most of us have heard many times. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, there are in the New Testament many different words from the Greek that are translated with the English word mind. But our general understanding of the English word is what I want to consider for our lesson today. The mind as the faculty of understanding, feeling, desiring. Jesus is saying in Luke 10 and verse 27 that we should love God in our deepest thoughts and in our understanding. So read with me in Hebrews chapter 8 and beginning in verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." This passage is a quotation from Jeremiah, chapter 31 through 33. God is speaking of a future time after the nation of Judah is led into the Babylonian captivity after those days. God's promises to establish a new covenant in verse 8. Which is not like the old covenant established with Israel. So the difference in the new covenant is the very point of my lesson today. He says, "I will put my laws into their minds." Same word as Jesus used in Luke 10, 27, saying, "Love God with all of our mind." The contrast to the old law must be seen here. These would not be merely external observances. They would affect the conscience and the heart. The law given to Israel pertained very strongly to ceremonies and rites, and the new covenant would relate primarily to the inner man, and it's designed to rule our heart. The few external things of the new covenant are really pretty simple. We assemble to worship on the first day of the week with fellow Christians. We sing, we pray, we partake, we give of our means, we hear the word of God proclaimed. We're to walk worthy of one who is a Christian, obeying what God has said. That's the summation of the new covenant. God said in this passage, "I will write them on their hearts." This is contrasted with the Ten Commandments that were written on tablets of stone. This is a more personal covenant. Salvation is not by being a part of the nation of Israel. Salvation is based on the individual who obeys God. It's a more lasting, a permanent covenant that would never be replaced. It's not primarily about external obedience, but obedience that originates from the heart. Sinners who obey the new covenant have a changed disposition. They have a changed understanding. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3. We know that we have been disobedient, that I am a sinner. Because 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says that we are being transformed into the same image as of the glory of the Lord. Not an external transformation. It is an internal transformation. I do think that the context in 2 Corinthians 3 refers to the apostles who were reflecting the light of Christ in their lives, much like a mirror. However, the gospel will affect all our lives in that same way, changing our inner being. Being a Christian only happens when the inner man is changed. Then the outward man will change into obedience. If all we're trying to do is change the outer man, then the heart will never be right with God. God has put His law into our mind and written it on our heart. They're not just a part of us. They mold us as to who we are as a Christian. We adopt godly thinking and dispositions that change our behavior. Now read with me in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 20. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. Scripture says, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Consider for a moment our state without God, without God's salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." We indulged those things, even of our mind. Whatever we wanted, whatever we thought was right, that's what we did. And to the man of the world, the Christian life is unreal. It's not realistic. Because he lives by what he sees and what he feels. To him, those are the things that are reality. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 17, by inspiration, Paul writes, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness." Now we know we are not to live like the worldly man. I think most Christians understand that. I got to make changes in my life when they become a Christian. But this passage also says we're not even supposed to think like the worldly man either. Our thinking changes. Now read with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 18. That says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Noah had never seen a flood like God told him about that would destroy the whole world. Yet by faith, he saw it coming and he obeyed God in building the ark. Abraham had never seen a heavenly city and a heavenly country. But by faith, he was willing to leave his own country and follow God to wherever he led him, because he knew of that country, the heavenly one. All those faithful people in Hebrews 11 saw the invisible. They had a different mind than those in the world. The world boasts of learning and knowledge and discoveries. God has given us understanding to know reality, to see what life is really all about. As we read a moment ago in verse 20 of 1 John 5, we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. The reality of our eternal state is understood. It's been told to us. It's been explained to us by God. In Christ, we're able to be in fellowship with God. We can know Him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 has Paul saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Being in Christ Jesus refers to being in fellowship with Him and with the Father. It also speaks of our own salvation. The entire concept of loving God with all of our mind, Luke 10:27, indicates we know that we are right with God. We do not get into Christ through whatever means we think is right. It's nothing mysterious, nor is it a creation of man. God has said we're to repent of our sin, we're to confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Romans 6 and verse 3, as well as Galatians 3:27, both teach us that we are baptized into Christ. That is how we enter into fellowship. We are in Him who is true. We are in God when we are in His Son. We have fellowship with God when we have fellowship with His Son. As Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now I'd ask you to turn back again to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read that passage again, but then extend the reading a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So we know what is real. We have been given that understanding from God. We have heard Him and been taught in Him. So in verse 22, we must lay aside the old self. Not just because it disagrees with God's law, but because we recognize that's not what's real. It's the deception of this life that robs us of eternal life with God. Verse 22 tells us this old self is being corrupted by that which is false. The lust of deceit that try to convince us that what we hear, see, taste, smell, and feel, that this is what's real. Well, they are to an extent. Don't think I've gone crazy here. We live in a physical existence. But in light of eternity, these things could not be seen as valuable. We instead are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, in verse 23. Now, the word translated mind here is a different Greek word. It's a little bit different than what we've been discussing. This is speaking of the faculties of perceiving and understanding, and those of feeling and judging and determining. That's a very full word that's translated mind. Because we understand what God has told us is real, we make new or renew our mind. We change our thinking. Our mind undergoes what we sometimes call an extreme makeover. When we are in Christ, our priorities change as we now understand what is real: God, Christ, salvation, eternity. And until I do that, until I renew the spirit of my mind, I will not see the need to change my behavior. Sometimes people will change their behavior because of outside pressure from other people. But I don't really feel like I need to do that. Look again at Ephesians 4, verse 24. We put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I have to walk in accordance with God's law. Absolutely. Not under compulsion, though. But because my mind has been enlightened and I understand and it makes sense to live as God says. We willingly consecrate ourselves to serve God. The King James calls it true holiness in this passage. A new reality that we recognize. A need to be holy before God. Yes, we keep external obedience, but only because that's what comes from inside of us. Some folks have wrong ideas of what it is to be a Christian. They constantly work to change behaviors, pointing inward to a change of their heart. They think, if I stop doing all of this, then my heart's going to get better. But the reality in Scripture is just the opposite. It happens in my mind, in my understanding, that changes my will, that will then require me to change externally. The Word of God has to be in our heart, and that's what changes us outwardly. So we have to work to change the mind. That's where we need to focus a lot of what we're doing. Read with me now in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 1. Peter says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." Here's that word mind again, just as Jesus used it in Luke 10, 27. Our understanding of reality needs to be regularly stirred. We need reminders. Our understanding is important. Peter is the one who recorded this in Scripture by inspiration. The very man who failed to demonstrate complete devotion to God by denying him three times prior to his crucifixion. Who even in Galatians 2 was accused by Paul and corrected by Paul for treating the Gentile Christians poorly as if they were second-rate citizens. He is the one who tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 1 that we need our minds to be stirred up. You see, we can lose sight of what is real as we live in this brief time in the flesh. Desires and lust still pull at us. We fall short. We sin. If we have a sincere mind, we'll see the need to be reminded, and we will appreciate the reminder that helps us. I believe this is just one good reason why we should be reading our Bible. I believe this is an excellent reason for not forsaking the assembling of the saints together. It's one of the reasons we should desire to study together and associate with Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 1, just a few pages back in my Bible, 1 Peter 1 and in verse 13, watch the language. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your heart completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Yes, this passage says I need to be an obedient child, verse 14. But what did it say before that? Prepare my mind, keep sober my spirit, fix my hope on the grace. That's all about internal stuff. That's why I will choose to be the obedient child. If we're missing the internal things, we're missing a lot. The regular reminder of the spiritual realities helps us to prepare for and deal with the external temptations and the lust of our mind. We're never going to win against them until our understanding is convinced of the reality of God and the truth that He has conveyed to us. And so I will, having become convinced, work from the inside out to become that obedient child. We must keep sober in our spirit and fix our hope. Don't blow off what is real. Take these things seriously to the point that the hope of heaven becomes a fixed goal in our heart. These are things we must do. And nobody can do it for me. Do not be conformed to lust, but be holy in your behavior. Holy, consecrated behavior is stated, but that's really not the point. We have to behave righteously. I understand that. But the point is, be holy as God is holy. Not just in behavior, holy in character, holy in thought, holy in the inner man. That's how God is. I've been examining with you from Scripture what Jesus means when He says we're supposed to love the Lord with all of our mind, in Luke 10 and verse 27. The understanding, what is in our mind, has been given to us by God, that we can know, we can understand from Scripture what is real, what is true. And that reality affects everything else. It molds our character. It trains our conscience. It controls our behaviors. So I ask this morning, do you love the Lord with all your mind? And are you holy as God is holy? As a Christian, if you see where you have failed God by returning to the thinking of the world, to the lust of deceit, which has led you to sin, I urge you to repent. We're to lay aside the old self. We're supposed to be renewed in our mind. Repent of sin. Pray God's forgiveness. He promises to forgive us in Christ. And be busy from this point forward in renewing your mind and preparing your mind for action. If you're not a Christian, I would kindly ask, are you convinced of the reality of God? Do you believe without a single doubt that God is? And if you believe in God, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But James 2 clearly teaches that faith alone will not save us. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. 1 John 5 and verse 20 says, we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the reality we all long for, to be in God, to be in fellowship with God, to be pleasing to God. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Baptism is that pivotal point, the reality of how we get into Christ. I encourage you this morning to serve God with all your mind and with all your heart. If you need to respond to His invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage you.